Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Good day, Mr. Meehan.
Hey, what's going on?
We are counting down the hours here until we put this train wreck of a year behind us. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, it hasn't wrecked yet, has it?
No.
It somehow barreled on. Like, you know, Casey Jones just kept on going somehow, despite all the cocaine. I don't know. It's been strange. You know, I'm so struck by all the things that literally about 9 months ago, I was like, there's no way. They'll never. We have proven ourselves remarkably stubborn as a species, for good and bad. It's stunning. It's like somebody started, you know, that whole meme about, like, we can no longer use the term avoid it like the plague, because it turns out we don't do that.
And yet, as you point out in your newsletter, there is hope. There is the kind of hope that makes you believe that in this streets a team could go in the NFC East.
It's tremendous. You know, I'm sitting here watching Joe Judge have a legitimately more a bigger chance of getting into the playoffs than his former boss, and actually having a better quarterback prospect than his former boss.
Mm, yes,
not that I'm sold on young Daniel, but Cam, I'd be surprised if Cam gets a gig next year. So, whoo, yeah, it's been fun. You know, there was all that chatter about maybe Bill always coveted the Giants as a franchise. Maybe he just slips away from the Patriots, becomes the GM. Joe's the coach, and the dynasty begins anew in New York.
Ooh.
Who knows? These are pipe dreams, of course.
Yes,
I, you know, whatever. I'm going to go with it. I suffered through David Gettleman, for God's sake. many have. Many who are also in line for a big upgrade.
Mm.
Funny. So yeah, here we are, in the bottle as well. I always like to sort of touch on some stuff that happened this year in terms of the world of wine, and then talk a little bit about some bubbles, because obviously bubbles are going to be important, even if it's in everybody's individual houses this year, along with the perhaps watching the magic show or whatnot. So we'll get into that in a second, but. I did want to mention, so for all the chaos that's happened in the world, what we headed in the wine world, headed into this new year of 2020 at the time, thinking about was all the tariffs that the current administration was placing on wine. And that's still been a very real thing. You know, we've talked a little bit about it here and there. You know, the prices of things have definitely sneaked upwards of about 25%. Here and there, and that was sort of our big concern. But of course, with the whole world spinning out of control, it turned the beverage industry, and it was just like everything else, upside down, to the point where and this is obviously relevant as we head into New Year's, a lot of the major champagne houses, for instance, just stopped bottling as much stuff, because, as we'll perhaps touch on, most bubblies are not vintage bubblies. They are indeed sort of a cuvee drawn from several years. So it wasn't like they were pressed to get the vintage out. And they figured, well, if, you know, 60-70% of our customer base, which is primarily, you know, restaurants and bars, is gone, and strip clubs, of course, we can't forget the gentlemen's clubs. Sorry, Diamond. And so they didn't bottle as much. So there's, for instance, as I've been telling a lot of people to their shock, there's no Dom Perignon for sale in Maine right now. I mean, maybe somebody has had some stored away, but, I mean, I tried to order Dom months ago and there was none. Moët, you know, a lot of these big names, it's just they didn't make as much, and so it's not out there. So that's been sort of a weird trend that is oddly just revealing itself now as we are in the season when most people are thinking about bubbles as the main wine choice of the week. So that's been kind of strange. And of course, you know, the other thing I suppose that's happened is the rise of the virtual tasting, right? We lost the ability to congregate in groups and taste wine and see what we liked. But, you know, we've had a lot of fun and we're hoping to continue. And this has always been a dream of mine. I mean, ever since, you know, nothing to do with COVID, but I've always wanted to be able to stream in foreign friends, you know, to do tastings. And indeed, we're talking with my friends Pep and Pat over in Spain and the Sarah Greeley family over in Italy for plans in 2021 to do these virtual tastings, which, again, I'd always sort of thought, why don't we set up a nice big TV screen and have some sort of video conference? But that seemed so ridiculous at the time. I think that's perhaps the biggest thing, is I thought I would need to get in some sort of, you know, AV expert to set up all this nonsense, and it turned out all along there was this thing that could have done it, and we all are now, you know, at least somewhat expert at it. So I think that's really going to be a big paradigm shift, is that, at least for us, I am hoping that the online factor of our store, the web store, in fact, we're investing in a new point of sale system as of today, to better facilitate the online aspects of the business that have grown exponentially over the past couple of months. So it's definitely been a huge, huge shift for us at Bangor Wine in terms of how we do business. And what was interesting, I guess, is because of all this, we didn't really see a lot of new trends. They just didn't have time to develop. I don't think anybody was looking towards setting the world on fire with something new. They were all just hoping that their own personal world didn't flame out. So, you know, and looking towards 2021, who knows? It's so up in the air. But I think, as I said, you'll see more attempts to connect the world in virtual ways. Really quickly, I always like to sort of talk about bubbles before I run out of time here. And I did want to mention, folks, by the way, before I run out of time, Bangor Wine and Cheese will be closing at 2 o'clock on New Year's Eve and reopening on the 5th. So, again, we all close 2 o'clock on New Year's Eve, reopen Tuesday the 5th at 10 a.m. Because mental health.
Yes. And by the way, you have all kinds of time. You have 6 minutes.
Oh, okay. Fabulous.
Yeah. I'll take your time. You put your feet up.
Very good. Well, Greta is here on my feet, so I don't think I can do that. Life, a dog's life, man. Bubbles are wonderful. I am a huge advocate for having bubbles when you're like, I just don't know what to have, because they can go with everything, right? So like for the beer drinker, why do people like beer? Because it's kind of refreshing. Little bubbles help you wash down stuff. And they help you belch gloriously after you do, so that the chef knows that they took care of you. That's important. Maybe not. But there are different styles. So let's talk about the styles. There's the one that everybody thinks is the only style, and that's what we call method classical or method champenoise, right? But this is not the only style. This is not the way a lot of wines, including Prosecco that you all like, is made. But here's how champagne is made. This is how cava is made, Franciacorta in Italy. It's a two-stage fermentation process. The first stage, as I mentioned, in most consequences, where you are not doing what we call a vintage champagne, that is wine sourced from a single year, because champagne houses basically try to, very much like scotch houses or bourbon houses, like the guy at Maker's Mark is doing exactly the same thing every day, that they're trying to establish a house blend based on all these vats and batches that they have from years past. And so they have a blend of still wine, right? It's not bubbly yet, from several different vintages. Perhaps you're also using several different grapes. So in Champagne per se, the three allowable grapes are Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Meunier, which is not as often vinified dry as the other two, obviously, but is quite delightful. So these are the three grapes you might have these still wines from. Maybe one of the wines is 2 years old. Maybe one of the wines is a year old. You make this blend, you're like, okay, I like this base blend. Usually that base blend is actually quite acidic, by the way, because the second stage of fermentation is starting to add more sugar back into it, so you're trying to balance things, right? So what you do is, once you have your fermented wine, you are going to make it go through a second fermentation in a bottle by adding what they call the liqueur de tirage, which is basically sugar water. You're inducing the yeast that is remaining in that bottle into a second fermentation. And that's when you seal the bottle and you turn it over. And for anybody who's ever seen those racks that are kind of inverted at an angle, with all these ends of sort of the punts, the bottle butts facing out, and how they have those little marks on them, just one little dash, and then somebody goes up and turns it just about an eighth of a turn every day. That's called riddling, right? And it's basically to induce the yeast all to the end, the top of the bottle, and then you knock that bottle off. It's called the top of the bottle off. It's called disgorgement. And those little bits, the lees and stuff, are removed. And then you have the wine that is fermented. You put back in a little bit of wine and sugar. And depending on how much sugar goes in, it depends on how sweet that wine will be. So there's anything from Brut Nature, which is really quite dry, not a lot of sugar being added, all the way to a douce cuvée, like a sweet cuvée, where they add more sugar. And very often that sugar, by the way, is just in the form of like grape juice. It's not like, you know, Domino's. But that's how they sweeten those things and give you a little bit more balance. So that is how champagne is made, and a lot of these other better secondary fermentation things. That's why they're more expensive. Then you have the Charmat method, which makes Prosecco, which is also two-stage, but the second stage happens in a huge pressurized vat. It's a very economical way of making sparkling wine. Now, if there's anything wrong with Prosecco and other Charmat methods, it's simply less expensive to do. But very often you can have very, very fine wines. The other one is the method ancestral, which is the fermentation is stopped, bottled, and then you continue the fermentation in the bottle and no additional work is done. That's basically the first way they sort of figured out how to do that secondary fermentation. But no matter what you're drinking, be it bubbles or be it still wine or be it simply water because you don't drink anymore, however you're toasting this exiting of 2020, do it with verve and gusto. I hope you're all looking forward to 2021. We certainly are at the store. As I said, do be on the lookout for virtual tastings, our new and improved online store. We're excited. We're going to make the most out of all these things that we have learned. I think it's been a rare opportunity that I hope we never have again. But I appreciate everybody's putting up with us and with all the weird regulations that we've all had to hurdle. And let's keep at it. And we'll talk to you again whenever Rich will have me again. 1 week, 2 weeks, I don't know. But I'll be back.
I was thinking next Tuesday.
God. I'll talk to my agent. I'm probably crazy.
All right. Well, have your dog get in touch with my dog and we'll work it out.
That's right. Very good.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. Same to you, Eric. Be well.
Cheers.
Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday. Yes, even into the brand new year. You're on Downtown.